Well, as we've spoken before, brothers and sisters, I'm going to be relaying to you another dream that the Lord has given me, and this dream concerns terrorist attack. And if you remember, we've talked about some different ways that Satan is going to try to take down this country, and some of this is being allowed by the Lord, and part of it is just a result of unfortunate and unwise decisions, and part of it is God's judgment on this nation, and part of it is just the times that we live in. And so we think about the times that we live in, and of course everybody has on their mind terrorists, and they're not just out to attack people here in the United States. They're not just out to try to destroy the systems and the governments in place here in the United States, but they're attacking people all over the world, and in London and in Mumbai and in Indonesia and all over Africa. And so there's a great battle going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and Satan is using the religion of Islam in many ways to destroy Christians, to destroy Jews, and their holy book teaches them to do that. Their holy book encourages and strengthens them in that regard, in making them believe that this is the way to serve God. And so there's a great battle going on, and we're going to be part of it. There's no way that we can escape it. There's no way that we can avoid it. We can intercede for the Muslims. We can intercede for those that are in that religion, and I believe that's what God wants us to do, rather than to condemn. And it's very easy to condemn. I'm guilty of that myself, and I would ask the Lord to forgive me of that, because I'm quick to condemn, and yet God wants to save every person on this earth. He wants every person, no matter what religion they are, to be saved. And so as a result of intercession, we can change the hearts of these people. As a result of intercession, things can be turned back into that which the devil wants to accomplish, can be turned to bring glory to the Lord. And so we know that God intercedes in the affairs of men, and we know that he can step in and intercede when we pray to him and we cry out to him, when we call to him. And we just saw this intervention by the Lord in this recent terrorist bombing attempt, when a terrorist attempted to blow up the airplane over the city of Detroit, and yet we know that it was just by the grace of God that that was not a successful attempt, and so we know that the angels of the Lord intervened there. And so I believe that's what God wants us to do, is to continue to stay on our knees, to continue to pray for the safety and protection of our president and Congress and the people in leadership, pray for the people that are traveling, pray for the people in cities who are in contact and in close proximity to Muslim people. And so we are called to intercede, and God will send his angels in response to our call for intercession, in response to our reply and our cry for intercession. And that's what God desires for us to do, and also that there would be a salvation as a result of this. You know, God wants every person to be saved, and so it's his desire that every single person come to know him. And we need to send missionaries to these countries. We need to send radio broadcasts to these countries. We need to pray for the people in Iran who are fighting for their life right now, and who are being very staunch and very bold in going up against their government and demanding accountability and demanding honesty and demanding openness and democratic ways in that country. And so we need to pray for these people too, because they're putting their life on the line. Well, the dream that the Lord gave me was given to me last spring when I was in Costa Rica, and the Lord, as I've spoken before, downloaded a bunch of prophetic dreams into me, and this one concerns a terrorist attack here on the United States. And as I speak about this, I'm going to be speaking about the President of the United States, and I want you to understand that I have no animosity, I have no personal racist ideas or viewpoints in my body. Many of the men I minister to are of different nationality, different ethnic background, and so I consider the president to be a man that I pray for, his family that I pray for protection. And so as I speak about this, this is nothing that is of any desire of my own or of any personal volition or personal accomplishment or gain. This is what the Lord has given me. And so I think it behooves all of us to pray for our president. We're commanded to do that in the Bible, and I expect all of the people who hear my voice to be praying for the president, be praying for the Congress and other people who are leaders of this country. Well, part one of the dream, President Obama was at the podium giving a speech, and I was standing behind him listening. Suddenly, someone came rushing up to him from behind and lunged at him with a spear and buried the spear into his back. Part two of the dream, I was talking face to face with the president, and I said, speaking about the National Guard men and women, "These are my children, my sons and daughters, and I want you to treat them with respect and take good care of them." Then I saw a large contingent of military people on the streets of our city. At first I thought it was a Veterans Day parade that is held here every year, but as I drew closer to it, I realized it was the National Guard. At part three of the dream, a group of people were standing around in the front of my store eating raisin bread that had just come out of the oven. They were commenting about how good it tasted, and they were passing a loaf around and tearing chunks off of it and eating the chunks. The interpretation of this dream, this is not a personal attack on our president. I do not believe that it represents a personal attack, but an attack on our country, as he represents the defense of our country as commander-in-chief. He is the highest-ranking military officer and represents the defense of this country. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to pray for our president, as I said before, and pray for his family, 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. And so God calls for us to pray for our leaders so that we may live a quiet and godly life, so that we may live a life of, you might say, not have no fear of the government, so that we would have no fear of the government. So who is to fear the government? Who would be in fear of the sword of the government? Well, it's those who are breaking the law, those who are in rebellion, those who are creating mischief. Those are the ones who need to fear the government. And so God is just saying for us to be in prayer for the government, and also just understand that if there are men in government who are ungodly men or unprincipled men, or men who maybe aren't acting in the best interest of the government, if we intercede for those men, if we cry out to the Lord and intercede and ask him to send his angels to those men, you know, God can change the heart of a man in a moment. God can raise up kings, and he can take kings down. He can raise up nations. He can take nations down. And of course, we can think of some examples in the Bible where men were raised up, and Nebuchadnezzar was put out into the field to graze on the grass, just like the cattle were. And the kings of Babylon were taken down, and Daniel was exalted to the right hand of the king. And in Egypt, Pharaoh was he exalted Joseph to the second hand beside himself there in the country of Egypt. And so God can raise up godly men and place them right beside unprincipled and ungodly men to affect the affairs of nations. And that's what God calls us to do, and that's what God wants us to do, is to be in prayer for those who may not be living a life that brings glory to the Lord. The fact that the spear came from behind is telling me that we no longer have the glory of the Lord to be our rear guard. Isaiah 52:12 says, "You will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." And Isaiah 58:8 says, "Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." And so we depend on God to be our rear guard. We depend on God to cover us as a nation, individually. And so when we do not act in regard to God's word, when we do not bring glory to the Lord in our own personal life and corporately as a nation, when we disregard God's commandments, when we turn our nose up at God's will in terms of passing laws and in the wisdom of the laws that we pass here in the nation, then God says, I'm not going to protect you. He says, I'm going to take my glory away from you. I'm going to take my hand of protection. And so I believe the Lord is doing that. I believe that it's already started, that God is starting to lift his hand of judgment off, lift his hand of protection off this nation and allow his judgment to come in the way of a terrorist attack, in the way of a calamity, famine, and pestilence. And God can do that because he is a God of, he is sovereign God. It is God that makes the decisions that raise kings up and lets kings fall and nations up and lets nations fall. And God will sometimes use the ungodly. He used the Babylonians and the Assyrians to come against the Israelites and to correct them and chasten them. And God does it not because he enjoys seeing people in pain. He does not enjoy people watching them suffer. But God does it to bring correction into their life so that they will turn to him. God's primary purpose for us here on this earth is not that we are in comfort. It's not that we have the lifestyle that we choose all the time. It's not that we would have the leisure and the easy living that we would choose all the time. God's purpose for us here on the earth is for us to be in fellowship with him. And so all the circumstances of life, not only privately, but also corporately and as a nation, God wants to bless us, but he wants to bring correction into our life when we disregard him and when we don't seek his face and when we pass laws and allow things to happen that are an offense and an affront to him. God then has no choice but to bring judgment and to bring correction into our lives. And so the glory of the Lord, when it's taken away from us, we no longer have that protection watching over us from behind. And so as the spear was thrust into the back of the president, I believe that it shows that the glory of the Lord is not there to protect us as a nation. And part two of the dream, the streets of America will be full of our own troops, and martial law security measures will be enacted. Our sons and daughters will be called into service to defend us not only from terror and outside enemies, but also from roving bands of outlaws and gangs from within. And of course, we know, we saw it in New Orleans in Katrina when the hurricane came. There was a complete breakdown, not complete, not total, but a very large breakdown of law and order, and people took the law into their own hands. People became lawless, you might say, started breaking into department stores and all kinds of retail stores and just carrying off everything that they carry into their hands. And the police were basically helpless. They were overwhelmed by the situation. And so chaos leads to disorder. Chaos leads to breakdown of law and order. Chaos leads to rape and to theft and to murder and to burglary. And the lawless and those with no integrity and those who have no respect for law and order use those kinds of situations to prey on helpless and weak people. And so that will be the situation here, and it will be because of the chaotic order of things that the military will be called out to try to bring order back in to this nation. Part three, the people standing around eating the raisin bread tells me that local provision, food produced close to home, whether it's in your backyard garden or the neighbor's garden or production facilities of processed food that is close to home, will be the order of the day, because the farther food has to be shipped from the point of consumption, the farther away the food has to be shipped, the more different things can happen to it. Disruption in the food supply, break in the food chain, trucks would be hijacked, pirated, and food would be disrupted. And so food supplies, normal supplies of food, will be hard to come by and will not provide the food necessary for people to be able to depend on it. And also, God is saying that he is our provision in all circumstances. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, And he, God, humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna you did not know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we know that not only in good times, but also in bad times, God is our source. He is our provision. And we've had a lot of good times here in America. We've had a lot of great times here in America. And God is going to be testing this nation to find out if we can truly trust Him, if we can put our trust in Him. And God is going to be testing us with circumstances maybe that we've never had to endure here, that we've never had to encounter here in America. And God is going to be testing us in ways that will put even the strongest to the test, and it will rock even the strongest. It will rock even the strongest Christians, those who trust the Lord in every way and whose faith is rock solid. It's going to rock them. And so we know that what is coming will be a great trial and a great tribulation for all those involved. Well, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And God is saying, we're hearing a lot of murmuring, we're hearing a lot of mumbling, and God wants to bring correction into this nation, not just because of what is going on in politics right now. It's been building for a long time. Dishonesty and corruption, people buying votes, people looking out just for themselves and writing themselves big checks out of the public treasury. And so this has been going on for a long time, and God is saying enough of that. And primarily His judgment of America is coming about because of abortion, because we continue to shed the blood of the innocents. It goes on day after day after day with no relief, no let up. And of course, there are bills now pending in Congress that will even open up the floodgates wider for taxpayer money to be used to pay for abortions. And so God will eventually require that the blood shed of the innocents, the blood that is crying out from the ground, God will eventually require that the recompense come from those who have shed the blood. And that's you and I, brother and sister, when we allow these kind of things to go on in our government and allow these things to go on in our nation. Eventually, God says, enough is enough, and He will require. And because this is a nation that has on their money and God we trust, and because this nation was founded on the principles of the Ten Commandments, and the law is basically derived from the Ten Commandments, God expects a great deal out of America. He expects this nation to be held to a high standard of accountability and a high standard of righteousness and integrity. And so, from those who He has given much, He will require much. And so, America, we are being tested, and we're going to be required much as the days come ahead. Ezekiel 7:15, the sword is outside, the plague and the famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword. Famine and the plague will also consume those in the city. And of course, I've referred to this scripture. In fact, the whole chapter of Ezekiel 7 is a very heavy chapter. If you've never read it, I encourage you to get your Bible out and read it. And the Lord just keeps bringing that back to me. Ezekiel 7 is a prophetic word spoken for America, and it was given to the Israelites by Ezekiel. But it's also a word given by the Lord to America, and so that we know what is coming. We know that hard times are ahead, but there's always hope, brother and sister. There's always hope, and that hope lies in turning back to the Lord. If people would hear this message, and people would hear what God requires of them, and people would hear that there is hope, there is a way to turn this nation back to Him, and turn this nation back to walking with the Lord, and back to a walk of integrity and righteousness. And so when God sees people on their knees, when God sees into their heart and He sees people turning back to Him, then He will answer us and He will respond to our prayers. Well, I'm going to close today with a passage of Scripture from 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. And of course, we hear this many times. We know this Scripture. I urge you to commit this Scripture to heart, to pray it, to think about it, to meditate on it, share it with your family, because herein lies the hope. Herein lies the hope that if we turn back to the Lord, if we turn back to the Lord, that He will answer our prayers and that He will heal our land. And this prayer was a response to Solomon's prayer. When Solomon prayed after he had built a temple, he prayed for the people, prayed for his brothers and sisters. He prayed for the iniquity of his fathers. He prayed for his children, those coming after him. And the Lord answered him and replied to him in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. And God says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And so God says, when my people, and that's us, brothers and sisters, when my people who are called by my name, when the Christians, those who call themselves followers of Christ, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And brothers and sisters, this is the time to do that. We can't wait any longer. Brothers and sisters, this is the time for us to seek the Lord, to seek his face with prayer and fasting, to seek his Lord, rend our hearts, not our garments, but our hearts, to rend our hearts before him, to cry out to the Lord, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent of our wicked ways. And Lord, I just pray that anybody listening to me right this moment, Lord, would look in their own hearts, Lord, that they would examine themselves so they would not have to be judged by you, that they would examine themselves. And as they examine themselves, as they turn from their wicked ways, as they seek your face and cry out to you, Lord, that you would hear them from heaven, that you would hear them from heaven, that you would answer their prayer, that you would forgive their sin, and that you would heal their land, Lord. And you are a God that is faithful to your promise. You cannot lie, because you are not a man that you would lie. You are faithful to your promise. And so, Lord, I thank you for being faithful to your promise, Lord. I pray that everyone that hears this message today would turn from their wicked ways, would seek you, Lord, with all their heart, strength, mind, and soul, would turn to you, O God, would turn to you. And we just pray, Lord, we pray that we would see that healing come quickly, Lord Jesus, that we would see that healing, not only in ourselves, in our land, in our families, and in this nation. Lord, we need you. And we thank you, Lord, for your promise. And we pray it in Jesus' precious holy name. Well, thanks for listening today. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.